Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means a Lie. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and we are waiting for our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, to come with us, to come to the mic. And as we are on the eve of Ramadan, we really wish an audience of time of restraint, time of reflection, and a time of the preaching of the Quran itself. Revelation came to the Muhammad, the blessed human being, some 1,400 odd years ago. We really honor him as being the model human being for all time. So, dear beloved people, without a further ado, we have with us, I'm so happy that he's with us because I am partially burnt out today. We've been running a 25-year-old schedule, but Almighty God has blessed us. Yes, sir. I have been running a 25-year schedule. But I tell you, my body tells me that I'm a little bit older than 25. But let me just share some good news with you all. I have gotten calls from leaders that I've never expected to hear from in this community. They have called me and they have asked me just talking. I think we are beginning to make a lot more headway. Let's see. Our brother should be back on shortly. We lost a connection. I'm going to put him on a tape while I try to reach him. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio. Assalamualaikum. This is Religion Means Alive with your host, Rashad El Amin. I am your holistic instructor, holistic practitioner, naturopath, and teacher. Chiming in, I want to thank you, Man Alfred, for allowing me this time, every Thursday at 6 o'clock, to share information on health for our community. Today we're going to be speaking about two topics. One will be on vaccines, and the other one that we touched on last week was about the coconut.
Yes, our brother is with us.
Hold it, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
In a situation, my cell phone died on the highway. I was calling you. That's why I'm late. I finally got to a place where I could make a call using somebody else's cell phone, and the one I just called on died. So they just let me call you on the office phone. You may have to replay last Friday today, brother, with the way I'm strung out.
Well, okay, my dear brother. Yes, sir, I heard you. Well, the audience heard you, but let me just say this. You remember this is the fifth Sunday coming up, and we would like for you to also speak on the fifth Sunday. So if you'd like to take leave of the court of public opinion for the day, we will certainly grant you a continuance until Sunday, and
well,
you can give a public address.
This is the line that we got to meet before Friday, before this evening. It's over, so I need to do that. But I'll go ahead and do Sunday, inshallah. It appears that we may or may not be in the month of Ramadan. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We are waiting for instruction from, I follow what Mosque Care says, and that they give us the go ahead. That's when we're going to do it. We should know probably at Maghrib time. Some are saying
tonight.
Sunday. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a possibility that the first day of fasting could come in tonight?
There is a possibility. Some are saying it won't be until Sunday. So I'm just going to wait to what I heard from our dear friends from the Mosque Cares, and I pray a lot we'll be all on the same page. Every year
we unified in our efforts. That's correct.
Yes, sir.
So anything else, I think if you play a repeat, I know last week you were on the road and you were trying to make the show happen. So maybe we just need
my
to have
son may
show.
Have to, he is not with me today, so he's a technician. So I don't even know how to download this show. I was just putting something on. Because I tell you, I was waiting for a good, powerful message. I wonder though, because a lot is going on this week with the Supreme Court.
And I was telling my wife, I say, look, I just got to your office. I've been ripping and running all day. There's a lot on the global collective plate that I need to get into, but if I went on trying to do that, I'd be showing up half stepping, and I don't
like
to do that.
We got plenty more time to work. And believe you me, we got a lot of work to do. And I just wanted to share with you again earlier that we're getting a lot of calls from people who had not called us before. I mean, the last two or three days, I met with some on the phone with some of the big leaders. Some I was shocked that they called me. But I think we are making headway. So I'm listening to the broadcast. One brother called me today that I'd heard from in 2 years and said to me that I heard Brother Imam Yusuf Salam mention Taylor Francis' book, you all discussing the pillar of fire. He said, I went out and got the book. So there are a lot of people listening to us. I'm telling you, religion means alive is on its way, and I believe we're going to deliver. Religion means alive, which is no more than a vehicle to expose Imam Muhammad beyond the four walls of the masjid to the general public, firstly our public, African-American public, and then we will go on to expand to the American public, and I believe one day
Allah will establish Islamic mission in America, no matter who detested, who tried to circumvent it, sneak it and Roscoe it and co-opt it and all those other kind of crazy things. Allah is fully in charge of his affairs, my brother.
You know what, Billy, ma'am?
Yes.
I tell you another thing I looked at. The fact that Thad Cochran had to come back to the African-American community to save his office is a sign of the future Yusuf Salam, the politician, emerging in the South. It's going to be a new coalition.
You're just going to bring me out of retirement, aren't you?
Hey, we might get a governor out of the state. I'm telling you, man, brother, the coalition is going to be with Muslims, Christians, and African Americans with a populist economic program built on self-help with the old-fashioned Christian, Judeo-Christian, Islamic moral tradition. I believe it's the winning formula. I don't believe it's the formula of liberalism where you can do your own thing, but I think the old good Bible-based, old-time religion, going to the catfish stand, telling the hunters you can have your gun rights long as you don't go and kill innocent people, and we want all people to make jobs for themselves here in America. I think we said that, and when the ex-slave rolls up out of the quarters and say, I'm here to interpret the American dream. And I don't want your wife.
I
want your daughter.
I don't believe in liberalism. Liberalism, excuse me. I believe in liberal in the cosmic context. Well, God says in the Quran that everything is, and I'm paraphrasing, is as broad for us as the heavens and the earth. But in the context of our social political tradition, that kind of broad, expansive possibility for the human being, liberal in the true sense, in our context, liberal translate into libertine, where everything goes, where let it all hang out. And it's that kind of liberalism that I get off the boat. But the liberal gifts that God has given the sons and daughters of Adam, well, we certainly buy into that. And he said we can go way out in space and be progressive, what have you, but we can't do it without great knowledge. So
that's
the
right,
conservative
that's right.
position is rational and legitimate in the cosmic context, in the true liberal position. But both are terms as applied in our context, especially in America, are defective. When they use conservative over here, that means conning people into serving them, manipulating the masses, using them, charging them slave wages, and what have you. Don't want them to make a good wage for a hard day's work. Conning folk in the serve. I don't buy that conservatism. Are you still there, my brother?
Yes, I was waiting to get a goodbye. I don't buy that guy. Brother, you making me feel good. Look, I'm telling you, we got a new policy that's going to come out from us, and I pray a lot that in 2015 that we can go to the National Press Club and announce that we have a new philosophy for America. And we're going to have you the enunciator. I think because you're the pioneer in the political thing, in the political arena, brother, we need you to step forth and lay out that philosophy and tell the American people that we're here.
There are some, excuse me, brother, ma'am, there are some advanced Euro-American political thinkers, and they understand that there must be a reconciliation between the tensions of the parties. As Muslims, we don't want a part of anything. We want the complete unified reality of Allah in the context of the political order. So this whole thing about party, in my opinion, can be traced back to the shaitan. Want to keep people divided, want to emphasize only a section of the political reality, promote divisiveness. The Khalifa that comes to America is going to come reconciling these superficial and apparent differences. That's what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ma'am, do you have time to take a question, a comment?
Oh, yes. Y'all
we have a
to work after all. My mind
yes,
is just as slow as molasses, but I'll see what I can do.
Brother, when we put the political heat on you, you'll be flowing like water, like a mighty scream. Now, let's now hear from Los Angeles, California. Los Angeles is no longer lost. Come on, Los Angeles.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, Aki. How you doing?
Good, alhamdulillah. It's so good to be listening and talking to my brothers. But it made me think when y'all was going back and forth talking, made me think, we ready to run somebody for president in 2016? Somebody from California to New York to wherever. Are we ready? Is it somebody? Is Keith Ellison ready? Could we run him? And that's
well, we certainly are ready because anytime we are emboldened by the divine support of Allah, then we were ready yesterday. I remember the man saying that he could be president of these United States.
That's right.
The question is, who's the best personality to take on that challenge? I certainly think that Congressman Ellison is strategically located to make a stab at a position of that nature, and if he decided to do it, then I certainly would support him, because there must be a time of intrusion. The light doesn't necessarily have to come every time there's an intrusion, but there must be an intrusive effort. So I agree with the brother. Why not?
Yes, sir.
I agree. You know what? I believe that, too. I think that, you know, remember, Jesse ran symbolically, and then President Obama ran for real. So I think it would be a good opportunity for one. I'll tell you something. You all, if I were 20 years younger and didn't have this call to be an imam, I would run. I'm telling you. And I believe I would run to win. Because you know what I believe? I believe a coalition of conservative social values with a progressive reindustrialization plan for America, and America serving as a peacemaker in the world rather than warmongering, and go and campaign. If we wouldn't win in 16, we would win in 20. And I really believe that
the whole idea is to put a position of practical hope in terms of reconciling these very polarized political positions that we find ourselves in America. And that's not by accident. The great manipulator himself, with all his subtlety and skill and wisdom, is behind this attempt to hamstring the political order with this rigid and stringent partisan politics that's almost completely undermining. So we need someone to step forward with a bold plan of reconciliation, advocating the very best. You take like conservative. The part that's valuable about that is that Allah has established a fitra, and any khalifa must stand to preserve that fitra. And all these values that attempts to undermine that fitra, that attempt to prevent that fitra from being conserved, then that's a problem. So in that sense, when the conservatives are trying to conserve the natural order, the fitra that God has established in his creation, then I'm with them 100%. But when they try to use power and wealth in the Koch brothers context to suppress the masses with a diabolic plutocracy, when they come that way, and when these right-wing Christians try to undermine the conservative reality of the Abrahamic tree, which established the fact that both Ishmael and Isaac were going to be blessed, and when they try to break that down and say that somehow the right-wing Christian has a monopoly on the Abrahamic mantle, then they are going against a posture that Allah established even in their book when he said there was going to be an everlasting covenant. The New Testament cannot eradicate that everlasting covenant. That covenant to Ibrahim and his seed must be conserved. And these so-called conservative right-wing radicals, they would try to disrupt that covenant and eradicate that covenant.
Yes, sir. Sir. Well, that was my question, and that's I think that's something to think about. I could see us. We used to go door to door doing things. We might need to, you know, get ready to go door to door with a political campaign.
Well, that certainly would be a way to channel the good constructive energies, our freedom energies, which we have hamstrung like a she camel in the masjid with formalism and ritualism. We need to release that life force that's contained in the good Muslim all around the country that's rooted in the Nation of Islam tradition of freedom, justice, and equality. Let's find a forum. Let's find a structure. Let's find a mechanism to release that in a massive way.
Mm-hmm. Praise be to Allah.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all, if you all meet me at the convention, We're going to have a planning meeting. I think I got something in my mind that I want to put on the table, and I think we should be thinking about it. I don't want to give it out too soon, but we should be planning in 2016 some type of Muslim political convention. So, but I ain't going to go too much in it because somebody else will jump ahead and ruin it. But we have some plans. We need to come together. But let's make the convention this year our biggest convention, and let's, while we eating bean pie, bean soup, ask Allah to forgive us, we're overeating, and let us sit at the table and let's have some private meetings and let's make some plans that make 2014 be the 40th year anniversary of Imam Muhammad's leadership. Let's make 2015, let's make it our biggest year we have ever had.
Well, hopefully that will indeed be an age of full strength where all the great sacrifice and effort of Imam Muhammad will come to a potent fruition 40 years later from 75. That's our dua, that's our prayer, that's our hope, and that's our aspiration. And certainly we were inspired by him to have those kinds of very, very positive aspirations. But I'm hoping that we haven't got caught up in the desire for the booty and has put our bow and arrows down like the believers, some of them did at the second battle with Prophet Muhammad. Let's keep those arrows aiming high with great aspirations, trying to conform to the ideal that Prophet Muhammad established in his life. And there's a lot revealed in Quran Kareem.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But thank you, brothers. Thank you. Thank you for calling,
thank you,
my
brother,
friend.
George.
I hope we answered most of what you had in mind. Yes, sir, but you sure did. Sure did. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Brother, ma'am, you put me to work anyway, aren't you?
Well, yes, sir. Brother, you're in demand. We put our leader to work, so I figured you were... You know, Imam Muhammad said, give him a good future. He said, I'm going to live in you. So we want to keep him alive. I know you don't want him to die, and I don't want him to die. And I want to give him a good future.
No,
I'm tired of my back.
Once in a millennium type leader, not once in a century, not once in a country history, American history, but once in cosmic life since Prophet Muhammad, a one-time leader like that. It's no way Allah is going to allow what he did to die, because Quran stipulates clearly Allah love is not to waste. What kind of waste would that be if a man with that kind of wonderful explication of Quran Kareem came on the scene and talked for 37 years and it died with his physical personality, which did not die. We speak not of him as being dead. He lives, though we perceive it not. So now let me say this. Allah love is not to waste it. Allah love is not waste. And not only is the Imam mission going to survive, but it's going to survive in a big, big way. When all else pass away in this American order, the people will still be remembering what the Imam brought to the global village and to the Western Hemisphere in this great nation. Brother, there's no doubt about that.
Yes, sir.
There's no doubt.
Yes, sir. Brother, I don't want to hold you because we would love to have you to, if you have to leave, let us know. But, I'm going to let's see, is brother Mubashir, Imam Mubashir Akhtar, I think he's on the line. Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar, are you on the line? I'm sure you have a comment or question.
Sam?
Assalamualaikum.
Yes, I was just listening to you. Good, y'all doing an excellent job, man.
Yes, sir.
Brother Imam, the brother from Alabama. Where are you from?
From Selma, yes, sir.
Yeah, I enjoy
you. You know, Oprah was in town today, and that's kind of what the Isle is bringing about
a situation where in 2015, Selma is going to be brought back in a big way to collective consciousness. There's a premier movie being produced on the level of 12 Years a Slave. So don't be surprised when Selma come back big in a big way in 2015. And hopefully we'll have a presence in that renaissance. I didn't say Salam. I say we. The followers of Imam Muhammad, all good people in America.
But I should have thought with you and Brother Imam Alfred on those numbers in 2014. This is 2014, 2015, and 2016. The amounts that when we look at these numbers, these are dropped to zero. So 2014, you got single digit number, 2, 1, and 4. 2 and 1 is 3, and 4 is 7. That's 7. Who was standing on the 7th level? The rational mind. Our father Abraham, the rational, logical of one that brought things to his proper conclusion to get the world to see God as one. Then 2015, there'd be 2 and 1. That's 3. And 5 is 8. Now 2016, there's 2 and 3, and 3 and 6 is 9. So our father Abraham, he had two sons, not just Ibrahim and Ishmael. I mean Ishmael and Isaac. They came in the old world with it, but in this new world, Muhammad the prophet said he heard footsteps ahead of him in paradise, and they was Belial. So, and when you see the ascension, Muhammad the prophet went in the ascension. He came after the ascension. He came at the completion. Now, what come after him? Because he pointed to one after him. That was the ninth one. That was Belial. Belial was up there too. And the Dan was called. And the only one that called a Dan during the lifetime of Muhammad the prophet was Belial himself. So 2016, it's starting now. 2005, Abraham. Now, Abraham, other two sons that come in after him, this is the day of Muhammad with the medicine, M-O-H-H-M-M-D, and Belial. Because Muhammad was the one that brought the message. And Belial was the one that called the people to the prayer to hear that message. That's how this thing goes, brother. Man. And this is what we're on our way to, 2014.
Well, we appreciate that, brother, expanding the vision and bringing even more understanding to the table, making connections. And really, there's another connection with this 2014.
Yes, sir.
We studied Quran, the surah that actually named, the name of the surah 14 in the Quran is Ibrahim.
Yes,
so I don't think the brother is off with that connection. But when we deal with these connections, it's just like light. It's light upon light, and it's
light
connection upon connection. And once we begin to make connections, it's an unending process. So we appreciate that, brother.
Can I
brother,
just say one more thing, brother? Man, on what Imam said about making a good future for him. Can I just like to just share this, and I'm gone. Imam Muhammad says, I have told you about my philosophical mind, my mystical side, and I see myself tomorrow living in you. He said, I won't be there. I'll be living in you. So please give me a nice future. Yes. Give me the future you know I want, because I won't be living after I die on this earth. I won't be living anywhere except in you. Now listen to this. He said, and those I loved and those who love me. You know, I'm Deborah D. Muhammad. That's how he said he wanted to be remembered.
Thank you very kindly, Brother Imam.
Thank you very kindly, Imam.
Sending us to that, and that was very, very, very inspirational, and I need to go over that quote repeatedly, so maybe I can get a copy of it from Brother Imam Alfred.
Imam Alfred, he got it. See, one thing about Imam Alfred, he got that kind of mind that hold on to things and bring them back when people be them forgotten. That's why I love it. Thank you, Brother Imam. Thank you.
Imam, what you got to say about that?
Well, all I'm going to say is all praise is due to Allah. And we have so many things on our mind. But, I tell you something. I thought it was a sign from Allah that I received calls from some of the leaders in the community. And I told them, I said, the community has been in a spirit of reconciliating with outsiders, and that's what I call Brother Arcon, an outsider. He decided to leave the house. But I said, I want to reconcile with you all as long as you know that Imam Muhammad is the leader. I never will compromise with you all on that. And that you all
right.
got to show that you're going to bring a busload to the convention. I said, I'm going to be there with my roll book, and I'm going to be taking a roll call for how many people you bring there. We got to get back to a productive lifestyle. We got too many of our people unemployed in America. We don't have nursing home for our people. It's time for the Muslims to show what they got. It's time for us to build schools, businesses, cultural centers, and association and governmental life in America, the four rivers. So it's time to put up or shut up. So that's what I told these leaders in a very diplomatic way. I said, look, brother, we are going to move into your town whether you want it or not. But Al-Islam has taught that Imam Muhammad is going to be successful. I said, all right, buddy, now. I said, I'm not playing with you. You know, the days of mercy is over. So that's my conversation with some of the leaders who called me. I guess they want to make peace because I damn sure haven't surrendered anything. I'm not being arrogant. But I'm an ardent, quick-free Imam Muhammad. I was telling one of the Ambulat Muhammad's sons, he said, well, you know, the Imam would use the whip. But he would let you use the whip. He said, President Wahab bin Muhammad wouldn't use the whip, but he would let you use the whip. I said, you know what? In the political arena, they have a whip. So I'm going to be a whip for this community. I'm going to crack it, too. I ain't got no problem cracking it. Man, I said, which his daddy was with him. So I'm going to be around this country.
All right. You're going to be majority whip. You're not going to be minority
I'm going to represent the people's interests. That's it, the people's house, but the whole earth is the people's house. And I'm going to crack that whip, and we ain't going to whip this. Both of us started this Muslim community. Then we're going to the African-American community. Because I believe we inherited the robes of Dr. King, and we also inherited the robes of the Ambulat Muhammad. So those two robes have been put together in Imam Muhammad. So I got a big whip. I ain't going to whip the white man right now. We'll leave him alone for a while. But I damn sure going to ride around this country whipping our people back in shape. Just go back to your ancestral spirit. I have to share this with you. I have to share this. This is good stuff. I was at a gathering of leaders, well, an educational banquet at a church. I mean, at an educational banquet in one of our cities. And the local imam, he basically tried to put me down. And sitting at my table was a very distinguished pastor. I mean, he was no bootleg. He had a B.A., M.A., M.S.W., D.M.N., A.S. in Modern Care Science. I said, Reverend, if your social work doesn't get him, you will bury them. So this man, but anyway, the local imam decided to make a joke of me. So, we know he got out bombing. He can teach, he can talk. He met a janazah before Alan had. So when the preacher got up to speak, the preacher said, I want to know this brother Imam Alfred Muhammad. And he gave me more accolades than the Muslim Imam and told the little gathering, maybe 40 people, that Imam Alfred was going to be invited to speak in his church again. And so what I'm saying is, we're gonna put an alliance together with the African American churches, the sincere African American churches, the African American fraternal organization, the sincere ones, and we're gonna revive African America. And in the next 4 years, African Americans are gonna know that Imam Wahab bin Muhammad lives and spoken forevermore. Why? Because we can translate. As I was telling this a group of Christians yesterday. I said, you know what it said? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. I said, that was referring to the light. The only relationship God will have with man is guiding him. And whoever believes in that guidance will have everlasting life. I said, you know, obviously it's not talking about no physical son, because how could the creator have a son? The whole creation is his father. He didn't have any children. And you know what? There were three preachers, and not one of them said a mumbling word.
How could they say a mumbling word? I mean, hey, that's crystal clear. And even if they have
you know
them, they have to die behind that explanation.
You know what I told I said, now, I want you all to know I'm an evolved Baptist preacher. I said, nobody took my license away from me. So I am evolved. You know, God says in the Quran, come to Kharta, only to project there. You're the best brought out for the people, evolved for the people. So I don't, Imam said, don't throw away your good Christian roots. I ain't throwing that away. I told him I started out in Brooklyn Baptist Church, evolved through the nation of Islam, and came into Al-Islam. You know, by nappy-head ex-slave. You know, I didn't get it from overseas, didn't get it from a seminary or cemetery. I got it from a living soul that had the courage to pick up the human flag. That's Imam W. Muhammad. And I tell people, if we teach that way to the public, they will understand. I go to funerals in this town, and I tell people, look, I'm going to bring you greetings from over 2 million Muslims who follow Imam Wahdeen Muhammad. They look. See, but we scared of our people, and a lot of us don't love our people. We just want to be heavy, you know. A brother came up to me at the Maori conference last Friday. I went there to greet people. He said, oh, yeah, brother, yeah, I'm getting ready to do a workshop on noun endings. I said, okay, Ismoon. I said, so what? So you know Ismoon? So the Negro, I said, I know you thought I was an old bootleg Imam, right? Didn't know nothing, old jackleg. But I said, I ain't no jackleg. I know that stuff, too. But I said, that ain't important. The important thing is waking our people up. So let me shut up. Buddy, remember, you have to go out and put on the tape because I'm ready to preach today.
Let me say this. Jacob wanted to use the religion to dominate the masses and to establish priest class. When he tricked his aging father, the religious establishment that had grown old, and the Islamic establishment has grown old and blind. And a lot of the imams and sheikhs globally, we just like Jacob. And just like Jacob, some of the brothers in the Imam Association, the people have gotten blind as to the essence of religion, and they want to project it as if it's about a language. The true jackleg is the one who gets caught up in the priesthood strategy of Jacob, as talked about in the Bible, when he put on that hair. Following the instructions of Rebecca and deceived his father. That's the real Jack Lee.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the Jack Lee. Something just came across my screen, and it says that Farrakhan is going to be speaking tomorrow on Uniting the Ummah, and I might just call in and asked him for an open debate. Will you, Brother Minister Farrakhan, denounce the back page of the final call mm-hmm. and take the real final call of Al-Islam as taught by your brother, Imam W.D. Muhammad? Now, see, these are the kind of challenge. If you all are bold enough to support me, I would challenge these lying thieves. Like, I don't have any problem doing it. See?
Let me say this. I would gladly support Brother Minister Farrakhan or any other imam if he came before the people and say, look, I was selfish. I was not the best man to be the leader. Our leader, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, had built a united community, and I was tested when his son was raised by Allah and given the mantle to lead this community. And I broke the unified cloak, and I regret that. Yes, I'm alive now, and I'll be a leader in person, but I must tell you that I'm not half the man Imam Muhammad was. If that brother came forward and said that, I'd be working with him to unite not only this community, but to unite America and global man, and be happy doing it.
That's my sentiment. That's exactly right. And if he does that, brother, I'm with him. I would tell him that. But I'm offering him an opportunity. If anybody you listen to him now, telling me you want to unify the Ummah, Let's unify the Ummah on La ilaha illallah Muhammad and Rasulullah. And let's also tell the people that God has sent them to the world. Well, I'm going to tell them what he told me. He told me September 1975 that Imam Muhammad is the Mujaddid Mahdi. That's what Minister Parkhan told me September 1975, sitting in the Salam restaurant when Imam Muhammad was called the Supreme Minister. So that's the first thing I'm going to ask, what did you mean by that? So we will have people that's coming in our places unchallenged. Expect a challenge. Don't tell the people on one hand you're the message of God, and the other hand come to you want to unify the Ummah. You can't speak out of both sides of your mouth.
Well, you know, every the Muslim over in Iraq now killing each other like 90 going north. They both say La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, but they're not united. So that's just a verbal expression. But that, if that's not undergirded by sincerity to Allah and the common folk, then it's hollow. So, yes, we are united around that phrase, but it must be upheld by sincere sentiments, okay? And a brother can come to me, and I can come to you, espousing that language. Okay, then where's the sincerity? And if a brother's sincere and he made a mistake, obviously it was a mistake. Just think what could have happened if he had been unified for 40 years. Just think what hell Islam could have been in this country. So
if you're ready to say that,
then Muhammad was a man of sincerity. Muhammad and Rasulullah, he was a man of sincerity. So act like Muhammad. And I believe that if Muhammad had made a mistake, Muhammad would have openly repented of his mistake.
That's exactly right. Well, let me ask you this, brother, man. We got to drag you back into the political way. What do you make of Pat Cochran's victory and also Charlie Ringo's victory?
I haven't had a chance to really reflect, but I do know that there has been rampant dissolution of the political process. And when a human being is put under that kind of rapid deterioration in the case, there's a tendency to want to do the rubber band effect and to go back to the tried and true. The Tea Party has put a lot of pressure on the American voting population in the sense that they come with such extreme radicalism. And in the law, when a person got in a state of extremists, in terms of the law of estate succession, that was a state that was immediately preceding death. So the people are sensing in a very deep, instinctive way that this kind of extreme, polarized politics is leading the American body politic to a potential state of death. So how do they react? They rubber band back to the tried, true, and the safe, and they go back to these old leaders. On one hand, Charlie Rangel, the tried and true, the known factor, and the same thing in Mississippi with Cochran. That's just my opinion. It may be other ways to look at it, but when it comes to politics, I think I'm always pretty much in the ball game.
Yes, sir. Any other comments or questions for our brother? We don't want to hold our brother, but would you make a comment on Charlie Rangel? His victory.
I make a comment on his situation.
Yes, sir.
Somebody need to go and wring his neck until he retire and give a younger person a chance to take the leadership for another generation.
Yes.
That's my personal opinion.
You
all might love him to death. He's been in office too long.
And another thing, him he's jeopardizing that seat for African Americans by standing that long. We have other groups competing with us.
We have to. What kind of power obsession that would cause a man to have been elected when Obama was a baby? When President Obama was a baby, now he's been in office in two terms. He's grand and becoming hoary head with his grace. I'm talking about Obama, but this man who's still in Congress was elected when Obama was a baby. Just think how absurd and ridiculous that is. And any
yes.
people that would send a man back like that, in my opinion, are not making the best use of their vote.
I agree with you.
You asked me. I gave it to you.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. I have no problem agreeing with that opinion because, frankly, it is a fact. And the fact that we don't have that kind of political sophistication, I was surprised that John Lewis and all of them came in the campaign for him. But I must tell you, the opposition was not much better. Mr. Espaillat came running on an ethnic banner, and we have seen the really witnessed the decline of African-American political power in the city of New York, with Harlem in particular.
Well, it's
and
not just Rangel. Look, I respect John Conyers. He's always had a very sharp legal mind. But he's in the same situation as Congressman Rangel. Look, when they went out to the bow, Prophet Muhammad gave some leadership to the younger forces. Some of the older heads didn't want that. We cannot continue the lifeblood of our political movement in terms of traditional politics unless we bring in fresh and new blood. That's just the bottom line. And
yes, sir, I agree.
I think our leadership basically has become obsessed with power acquisition and power maintenance. There's absolutely no need for those brothers to serve politically as long as they've served. There's absolutely no need. What's going to happen when they die? They would have sucked up all the oxygen. No one would have been able to develop and get experience, and then we're going to have to call on a core eventually of youthful political leaders that's totally blind because these old, arthritic deadheads suck the life out of political growth and experience in the younger generation. I've always had the opinion that I would not serve in any office over 3-4 year terms. I don't care what it was. I left the city council after I had served 2 terms. Let somebody else have it. That's only common sense.
Yes,
sir. Civilization. That's progress.
That makes a lot of sense. And what do you think of what's going on in Detroit, Michigan? It seems to me that the African Americans are going to sleep
because they rejected their native son who was born on Yemen Street, the greatest Westerner ever produced, and they won't even name an alley after him. So
yes,
don't
sir.
Ask me about Detroit and its divine chastisement, which is blatant and clear before the world. And don't
yes,
put
sir.
It on no white folk and no Koch brothers bankrupting the city and all that stuff. No, Detroit, turning off folk water. When have you ever heard of some stuff like that? Regardless of what the secondary cause for a collective political entity to be in that shape, I have to say they're under divine chastisement.
Yes, sir.
What other sin in this country has the blessing to have a man of that excellence to be born out of their womb? And how do they respond? They give us Kilpatrick as their hero. They didn't want the man that God raised up.
Yes, sir. That is exactly right.
You shouldn't ask
right.
any of these questions, Brother Imam.
Sir?
Brother going to try to be as honest and candid as he can be, seeing none but Allah.
Isn't that what our people need? Honest, sincere leaders? Isn't that what the prophet said? That sincerity? He said that deen is sincerity. So we need sincerity. We don't need to lie to our people. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to tell our people that we're closing up this university, yet they have $1.3 trillion. Mr. Drake, I believe one of them rappers, gave $25 million USC or UCLA. UCLA doesn't need his money.
Well, I want you to tell me how in the Quran, Allah, in Arabic, how he punished the Thamud and all those other communities in Surah 11 for rejection, but somehow in English he won't punish the Troy for rejection. What's the difference?
But there ain't no difference. I agree with your 1,000%. I can tell you this. I have no argument. What you guys call it, the law, I cannot prevail against that argument. That's all I can tell you. I have no defense, and no contender.
So then there's no dissent in your opinion in terms of that position?
No, sir. No,
okay,
I can't defend.
You're not going to write a dissent opinion.
No, sir. No, sir. Right, there's no dissent in opinion. Let me ask you one more question. What about the Supreme Court decision to overrule the president and his prerogative toward recess appointments?
The Supreme Court, especially Scalia and Thomas, as a general rule, they have been bought hook, line, and sinker by the Koch brothers led plutocrats in the country. And their main agenda is to try to undermine the presidency of Barack Hussein Obama. Those strategies and techniques that he's utilized to avoid the obstruction of a sabotaging Congress, Republican Congress, he brought in one of the main advisors, Podesta, John Podesta, of the Bill Clinton administration. And Bill Clinton used those same strategies. Didn't anybody bring a Supreme Court case against him? The same man that advised and counseled Clinton is now advising and counseling Obama, because when it was time for him to try to accomplish something through circumventing Congress, he brought in Podesta. So now, what Obama has done is not new or different. But every time he makes a move, the goalposts change, the rules of the game change, and all they're doing is playing a little game just in case the Republicans take back the Senate so they can mess with the man his last 2 years with artificial and superficial impeachment proceeding. That's what my opinion they laying the foundation for. You still there?
I was going to ask you about the suit that the Speaker of the House has placed against the President.
That's all part of that same little strategy. The political evidence is coming in. It may be that the Republicans are going to retake the Senate. If that's the case, then we're going to have a bunch of drama. You know, if they try to bring impeachment against Clinton, what's going to happen these last 2 years with Obama? All that is part of what the Supreme Court did, is part of the same strategy, in my opinion.
And you know what? I cannot rebel against the fact. That's how it seems. I mean, we have the Koch brothers, whatever they are. These men have decided wrongly, I believe. I'm convinced to rule this country. And now we have Mr. Sheldon Adelson spending hundreds of millions of dollars with the Supreme Court permission to just buy elections. But
well,
I believe
the Supreme Court created that in the Citizen United case and its offsprings. Then two or three cases decided by the same Supreme Court, which has created a situation where the political system and those elected are going to be the ones the best that money can buy. That's where we're moving.
What strategy should
we? United was decided, Obama took a strong stance against that. Those people, those reactionaries who have the wealth to think that they can buy the American political order, they haven't forgotten that. So let's look for that theater. Let's look for that drama. In the end, I don't think they're going to follow through because they know the devastating impact that would have if they really impeached the first African-American president who basically has lived up to the rules of the American political game. Not perfectly, but just as well as better than any president I've seen.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. He has done a remarkable job. Now, let's move into foreign policy, and let's discuss what's going on in Iraq and what they're again trying to drag the president into an embarrassing scenario with what's going on in Iraq, saying this scenario is really to try to embarrass the president again. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, that's easy to answer. I have to go back to one who the imam suggested was a political-like Yusuf, not Yusuf in his full archetypal dimension, balanced spiritual and political man, but Colin Powell made the very simplistic statement when they were talking about going in Iraq, and this is the bottom line to what's happening now. If you break it, you own it. Cheney and Bush broke it, and it'll never be able to be fixed. So anything that happened in Iraq, they own it. Not Obama, not Clinton, not any subsequent president. They broke it. They own it forever.
Yes, sir. So what does that mean in terms of military and political movement?
Forces of American powerful high-tech political machinery is somewhat exhausted. It's no way that Congress, President Obama, and especially the majority of American people are going to go along now with any further imposition of strain on the military complex in this country. It's just not going to happen. Iraq can burn to the ground. And believe me, there's not going to be a substantial investment of American political forces. We cannot stand it in terms of budgetary concern, nor the realities of the stress and strain of our military personnel in terms of these constant redeployment in Afghanistan and Iraq. 11 solid years of war, the American people, the military systemic order has simply had enough. They are exhausted. It's not going to happen.
And I think that's a good thing, don't you?
That's a wonderful thing. And I'm just looking at how really that to me secondary. The real thing is the divine drama in this day of Yom Medin when clearly the Muslim world, especially in the East, is being blatantly judged clearly by Allah before the world. And
yes,
I'm not making a statement that doesn't have support from Imam Muhammad.
He made that statement years ago. So that's really what's happening, more so than geopolitical foreign policy concerns, in my opinion.
Yes.
That's where I'm placing my focus. So that means clearly that the rise of the Islamic forces in the West, especially in America now, have a very unique and essential role to play. And if Al-Islam is going to be brought back to its full excellence and its full dignity before global man, it's going to happen right here in America among the descendants of slaves, those who are in the image of Nappy Ed Belair. That's my opinion. So that's really the scenario that's being set up now.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. I think that what do we do to get the African-American Muslim community more involved in understanding the political process and even the African-American people, period? Because it seems to me that we are not politically sophisticated.
We should study our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most sophisticated political document in human history is the treaty he made with the Jews and others when he entered Medina and established collective Muslim life. That was a very refined and very complex skill political document. If we are going to follow Prophet Muhammad, then we have to understand that marriage is half the religion. And marriage is social life, and half of social life is government and political order. So if we want to live half of the half of religion, we must become politically astute under the righteous guidance of Allah, the way that Abu Bakr and those other three individuals were good Muslims, but they were politically astute and righteously guided in the arena of governance. That's our religion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. So we have to focus our people's attention. Now, what are some of the things that we as Muslims from the community Imam W.D. Muhammad should be doing during Ramadan? What should we expect? You know, and reason I framed this question in light of a question that Imam Muhammad, a statement he made. He said, when you go to the Quran, you should go to the Quran with questions and look and ask. In other words, we shouldn't just wander through the Quran. Like, you know, somebody going to a shopping mall, and they're just looking, you know, and they don't know what they're going to shop for. When I go to the Quran, I'm looking for how can we be more obedient to God and building a model community. You know, my Ramadan presentation at the Ramadan session, the theme is the Quran, a book of guidance for all people and a mercy. I think it is. I'm addressing specifically the Quran, a book of guidance for all people in the establishment of community life, in the establishment of New Africa, a light to the world. My belief is that if we build communities in Selma, and Lynchburg, wherever we are as a people, developments and show communities, build schools, build cultural centers, build a life for ourselves. That will be a light for people in Ipagaos and Philippines. It will be a light to the people in Rwanda. It'll be a light to Africa. It'll be a light to everybody, all the world. Would you come here?
There's no doubt about that, brother, ma'am. You're so right, and I think that's the best. There's a good way to put it, and we must become that best of people because the redemption of mankind, in a sense, depends upon whether or not these descendants of slaves who have withdrawn into regression. I got to go, Brother Imam. Let me say this. They have withdrawn into regression, but the great historians say, if you respond after withdrawal, will we withdraw and have a comeback? get back in touch to the excellent values of the excellent values of our ancestors. That's the key now. Hey, brother, you drew me out. You got me shooting from the hip. You got me talking on the fatigue. You got me talking on the exhaustion. But
you did a marvelous job under duress, but may Allah grant you the most high state of mercy when you are not under duress and under pressure. We look forward to seeing you on this rostrum at 3 o'clock on Sunday, 2 o'clock Central Standard Time. So until then, give the family
my brother, Imam, and let me say to the audience, if I did not express myself with the utmost clarity, if I made a few mistakes in my analysis, forgive me the faults of mine, and surely Allah is free of imperfection.
Thank you, my dear brother. Wa alaykum as-salam. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Thabit Madyun. It's on the line. Brother Thabit, what? Yeah, Brother Thabit. Brother Thabit Madyun. What say you? Thank you, Brother Imam. I know you have to go. We're going to take leave of you. I'm going to have Brother Thabit Madyun. Brother Thabit? Okay. All right, well, I'm out of gas, too, so I'm going to take leave of this wonderful and noble audience, and we'll see you tomorrow. We have a discussion with Brother Imam Askir Muhammad, followed by Sunday, the fifth Sunday. Our guest speaker will be Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. Till then, you can send your donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Thank you, peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. Until tomorrow at 7 o'clock, assalamu alaikum.